Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Today, verses 10 through 12, blessed are the persecuted. Here's Paul Chappell.
There is a new brand of Christianity in America today that is foreign to the New Testament of the Bible. Churches today are marketing themselves as a place where you can attend and not have to worry about convictions or not have to worry about taking up the cross of Jesus Christ. When I read in the New Testament, I read that Jesus said, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In other words, normal New Testament Christianity involves at times some discomfort or some trial of heart, and sometimes it means putting aside ourself and taking up the cross and following Jesus Christ. But we live in a day where many churches are saying that you do not have to worry about convictions or taking up the cross. Now, I guess in a way, the times have not really changed. In fact, in the first century, when Jesus Christ preached that men should follow him and men should deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him, we read in the Bible that those men forsook him and crucified him. You see, this matter of real Christianity, this matter of really living for the Lord Jesus Christ, is not something that has ever been popular. And we see that today, in increasing ways, the church is trying to accommodate the world, when in fact what we need to do is call men and women to real discipleship for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people today have no problem following a religious leader who downplays convictions, but they will crucify a man who points the way to the narrow gate of the Christian life. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to show you this morning the Bible's teachings about normal Christianity when it comes to the verse that we have read in our text, "Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and revile you." Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. The Bible tells us here, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Would you read that verse together with me? Let's read it. Ready, begin. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You see, beginning with a man in the Old Testament named Cain, all the way until the day in which we live, godly Christians who live a righteous life have suffered persecution. The Bible says all those that live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want to drive this home in our introduction this morning, and the truth of the matter is that faithful followers will always get grief. Now, the world today says we don't need any more grief, and so don't talk to us about a life really separated unto God or a real faithful Christian life, because that's not what we signed up at this church for. But Jesus says to us, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, let him be willing to take up the cross and follow me. And here the Bible says all of those that are godly in Christ Jesus, and notice that in the verse, please, all of those who will live godly, you see. That's your choice, isn't it? And if you determine, and if I determine to live a godly life tomorrow morning out in that world, then the Bible says from time to time, you can expect some persecution. All of those who will to live, who say, tomorrow I'm going to stand up for the Lord, I'm tired of that old life, I'm going to live for Jesus, the Bible says, okay, good, but you're going to face some persecution as you determined to do that in your life. In fact, three things are mentioned back in Matthew chapter 5 that you can expect. The Bible says that there will be times when you will be reviled, spoken against wickedly. There are times when you will be persecuted. I know of some men that I have helped come to Christ, and they went back to their old friends. One man comes to my mind, and he said, I'm tired of the drugs. I'll not take drugs anymore. And his friends took him out back behind a warehouse and literally, physically beat him up because of his stand for righteousness. Persecution. Some will be reviled. Some will be persecuted. And then that verse, chapter number 11, Matthew 5 and verse 11 says that some will even speak evil and create accusations that are not true against you if you endeavor to live for God. And so we see the Word of God is teaching us here in Matthew chapter 5 concerning the Christian life that there will be times when men will revile, persecute, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Now notice with me this morning as we look at these verses, first of all, the reality then of persecution. The reality of persecution. You see, if you endeavor in your life to make these Beatitudes your attitudes, if you say, I'm going to live the Christian life according to Matthew 5, I'm going to live this way, then you can expect that as you have a bold witness, there will be persecution. Now let me quickly say this. We're not talking about going out and picking a fight, all right? We're not talking about you were a real jerk one day and got some people mad at you. That's totally different. We're talking about you are living a godly Christian life and people begin to do these things against you. Now, persecution. Notice, first of all, the reality of persecution in verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Some people are going to experience persecution in their life because they take a righteous stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and they live and they preach or teach in their life a certain stand that is right with God. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4 and notice this with me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says here, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. By the way, isn't that interesting that Christ would list murderers and busybodies in the same verse? Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. This is what the Bible's saying. It says, look, if you're suffering because you murdered or because you told some gossip or because you did some sin, then you deserve to suffer. But the Bible says here that, and in verse number 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. If you're suffering because when the guys at work are going to go do something that's against the Bible and you don't do it, that's nothing to be ashamed of. If you're suffering because teenagers, there's a crowd of young people that are going to a wild party and you say, no, I'm not going to go. That's nothing to be ashamed of. That's normal Christian living. And if there aren't some times in your life where you're saying no and where you're standing up for God, you are not living a normal Christian life. Sometimes Matthew says you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, I think sometimes we fail to realize that Christians around the world today are suffering just because of their belief in Christ and because of their belief in the Bible. In fact, this past September in Washington, there was a statement read into the congressional record, and the statement said that there were more Christians that have been martyred in the past century than in any previous century of world history. Now, we don't feel that. We're here in comfortable Southern California. And probably the news does not report very often much of the persecution of Christians around the world. I've read many reports in recent days from Indonesia where Muslims are rushing Christian churches and taking the pastors and faithful members and murdering them and burning the churches in 1997. That's happening. Freedom House International recently reported that in the last decade, there were 100,000 Christians in Sudan who were murdered by Muslim fundamentalists. 100,000 Christians in Sudan. And though we do not hear of it very often, the church today is continually under attack around this globe. Now, here in the United States, this persecution or this danger is not as high, if you will. We are not constantly in threat with regard to our physical safety, but there is persecution now beginning to find its way into our society as well. And I can list several illustrations. I think of one article I read a time back about a Madison, Wisconsin firefighter named Ron Green. This man began to witness of his faith, and he began to tell some co-workers about Jesus Christ. His captain called him in and put him on a time of leave from duty and ordered him to take diversity training so that he would understand the diverse culture in which he lived and would not try to share his faith with anyone. And I read also recently of Trinity Western University, a university that was denied accreditation because the students were asked to sign an agreement stating that they would abstain from a homosexual lifestyle. And the accreditation board simply said that this program is discriminating. In other words, if you believe homosexuality to be a sin, the government was saying, we will not give accreditation to your college. And on and on and on, the situations are arising in this country and in this day in which we live, where when a man or a woman or a church or some Christian institution stands up for some righteous principle, that they are going to suffer many times trial and persecution. And so we see that there is persecution for righteousness' sake. But notice also what the Bible says in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. Matthew 5, verse number 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Now, first of all, there's persecution for righteousness' sake, for standing up for right. And if you're a Christian who lives for Christ, that's going to happen in your life from time to time. You're not going to escape it. And then there's persecution for his name's sake, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've noticed something about our society today, and that is that oftentimes people do not mind if you tell them you're a Protestant or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or maybe even a Baptist. They can go along with that. But you know, when you step into a crowd of unsaved men and announce to them that you are a Christian, oftentimes that makes them nervous. And oftentimes like, whoa, Christian's here. I love to get around just a group maybe of businessmen and maybe they don't know who I am or what I do, and people begin to introduce themselves and they'll tell their name and what they do, and they'll say, "What's your name?" And I'll tell them my name, Paul Chappell, and they say, "What do you do?" And I'll say, "I'm a pastor." "A pastor?" And boy, you'd think something terrible had just happened. And then you tell them you're a Christian and so forth, and a lot of times people become a little bit nervous and even intolerant. Why? For his name's sake. That's what the Bible says. The name Christian, oftentimes the name Christ, will bring about a reaction that some of you as new Christians may not be ready for. That's why the Bible says you need to know that it's a part of the Christian life. John 15 and verse 20 said it this way: "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you." Now that's the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, look, the servant is not greater than the Lord. We all understand that today. And he says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And so we need to be aware of the fact that Jesus has given us warning concerning this matter of persecution. And we need to understand that if we do not conform, if we do not compromise to this world, we will suffer. And there are many who are saying, hey, I don't want to suffer the reproach of this world. I don't want people to think I'm a square. I don't want people to think I'm some kind of a weirdo. Get me into some kind of a generic church where I can look and live and act just like the world and not have to really, you know, bear the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what I want. And the Bible says, Jesus says, no, if you're going to take my name and if you're going to bear my cross, you're never going to be able to escape the fact that some people are going to look at you and say, that crowd is a strange crowd. And so we see that for his name's sake, this will happen. And notice what it says in verse 11. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." You may find someday that there's a co-worker who doesn't like the way you live. And that co-worker may become upset with you. And that co-worker may even tell a lie about you at work because he's upset with the way you live. And by the way, it happens all the time. That's what the Bible says. And someone may find themselves looking at you at work and disdaining your testimony, disdaining what you believe. They may file some false report on you. And by the way, we live in a society where there is a hate now towards those who live according to the Word of God. And we need to realize that these things take place from time to time. There may be a family friend. There may be some co-worker that reviles you and that really in his heart, just when he sees you, becomes angry. And you need to realize it may not be you at all. It may be the Christ you love and the way that Jesus is changing your life. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 5. They'll revile you and they may speak all manner of evil against you falsely. I had a pastor call me a few months back and he was somewhat discouraged. He said, "Brother Chappell, I'm planning to resign my church." That always hurts me when I hear some pastor say that. And I said, "Brother, what's wrong?" And he said, began to tell me some things that revolved really around one individual in his church and some things that individual was doing and saying and the problem that it had caused. And I said, "Brother, look, if God called you there and if your heart is right before God, you stay in the saddle, brother. You stay faithful to God." You know, he called me a few weeks ago and he said, "God has taken care of this situation and this person has come and made things right and we're beginning to experience some real revival in our church." And you see, that's the type of thing that oftentimes will happen in the life of a Christian who stands for the Word of God. So we see the reality of persecution. It is going to come. No godly Christian can escape it. Notice, secondly, our reaction to persecution. Our reaction to persecution. Now, notice what it says here. In verse number number 11, the Bible says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Now, we know that this is coming. We know that this is going to happen. So how do we react when it happens? What are we supposed to do when it comes to this matter of really understanding persecution?
What are we supposed to do? Well, first of all, I would say this morning that we need to prepare ourselves for it. We just need to be ready for it. We don't want to be left out wondering about it. We need to be ready for it. Turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want you to see a very interesting word here in verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh." Now notice the first of all the phrase, "in the flesh." How many of you believe Jesus suffered for you? Literally, he suffered. All right? Notice what it says. "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Now, for someone to be armed, that means they're ready. Look, all of our boats and all of our ships, rather, of our Navy and our planes, of our Air Force, if they're not capable of arming, or if they're not armed at this very moment, they're not going to do us a bit of good to defend our nation. The Bible says if you want to defend against this matter of persecution, you need to arm yourself. Prepare yourself. And the Bible says arm yourself with this same mind, with the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our reaction to persecution, follow me, should begin before the persecution ever comes by being ready for it in your mind. You need to be ready for the fact that this is going to happen in your life and that you're going to have these struggles in your life from time to time. I wrote these words and I think they're summed up as we think about this term of arming ourselves. We need to make sure that we don't react, that we don't resent, and that we don't retaliate. I'm going to say those three words again. We don't want to react. Friend, if someone says or does something to you and you come off the cuff and say something back, it's normally going to be the wrong thing. You don't want to react. You don't want to resent. You don't want to go through your whole life resenting someone or some place that's done something or said something that's hurtful to you. And thirdly, you don't want to retaliate. You don't want your life to be a life of retaliation constantly. Now, I want you to see why. Turn back to Matthew 5 for just a moment. I know we're flipping back and forth, but I looked on the sign out front this morning and it said church. So we're going to look at the Bible, okay? Now, notice what it says here back in Matthew 5. And find it very carefully there in verse 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Notice, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Folks, Christ's desire for your life and mine is that we would reign on this earth as kings. That we would live as kings and not as slaves. Christ wants you to reign as a king. He does not want you to be a slave to your rage. And what a tragedy when a Christian goes through a time of persecution. What a tragedy when a Christian, rightfully or not rightfully, is persecuted, and then they become angry and they become filled with rage, and all they can do is just talk about it and talk about someone and talk about someplace, and they're just so upset all the time. They're not reigning. They're not living as a kingdom child. They're living as a slave to their rage. Any of you ever met somebody who's a slave to rage? I meet them all the time. Oh, they're angry. Boy, they're just angry at someone or at some situation. So we must arm ourselves with the mind of Christ.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious. Lots of people believe in God, but the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to Him in faith, to trust Him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim Him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in Him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chapel invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.